Look at John chapter 3 and verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born, you need to underline the word born, and over on the side of your Bible, right next to it, if you'll put the word gened, G-E-N-E-D. The word born is the same word for gened, or you could say a new start or a birth per se, but that's the word born. It means gened. The word again, except a man be born again. That word means from above. The word again means from above. Gened again or gened from above. He cannot see the kingdom of God. So the word born means gened, and the word again means from above. Tonight's Bible study is salvation and regeneration. Now the word regeneration is only found in your Bible two times. Once in Matthew, in reference to Jesus' kingdom, the regeneration of the Son of Man. And it's used one time that we'll look at tonight, Titus 3:5. But the most of the time our King James Bible uses that word is the word born. So we're going to be looking at that a couple of times. So here, in dealing with regeneration or regening, verse number 4, watch this. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born, there's that word again, gened, when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? If there was some of the dumbest questions ever asked in the Bible, I think that has to be one of them. Honestly, we'll find out when we get to heaven. And be born, verse number 5, Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born, there it is again, of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which was, here we go, born or gened of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. In those verses, in that little chapter right there, 7 times, the word born is mentioned 7 times. God's number for perfection. Here God is teaching us about regeneration. God teaches us that life, in these verses, life begins at conception, not birth. That's how come they legalize abortion, because they say the fetus is not a life. They say life starts when the mother births the child, and the Bible teaches all throughout it, life starts at conception. That's why it says here, when that which is born or gene, you get your genes at conception. The genes, you know what your genes are, right? It's what makes you you. Your hair color, your height, all that thing. You know how big my nose is. You know it's all part of my genes. Okay, I have a big nose. I'm just telling you that. As far as birth does not give you your genetic makeup. That's why the Bible teaches. This is not what the Bible study's on tonight, but it's good to know. Abortion is murder. It is murder of the innocent that God will require at our nation's hand. That's one. It's not the only reason, but it's one of the reasons our nation's being judged right now. The shedding of, look up it sometime, do a Bible study on it, innocent blood. It's always in references to babies being killed. Always. And so life starts at conception. Conception, that's taught. Now, take your Bible and you're in John chapter 3. Go back to John chapter 1. Watch this. John chapter 1. We're looking at salvation and regeneration. I'll give you a definition for regeneration in just a second, but I think you're getting the concept. John chapter 1, look at verse 11. John chapter 1, verse 11. He came unto his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power. And that word power means right or privilege. To them gave he the power or the right or privilege to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were, here's that word again, born, which were born or gened, not of blood. In other words, it doesn't matter what your race is or what your family tie is, nor of the will of the flesh. All right? It's not your way. It's not because of what you want, nor of the will of man. It's not because many times there is hereditary membership in Protestant churches. Hereditary is this. If your parents were members of the church, then when you were born, we baptized you. It happens all the time with Protestant churches and in Catholic churches. It's hereditary membership. The will of man, not by blood, or the will of man, or by what's it say here, nor the will of the flesh, but of God. You were born or gened or birthed into God's family or regenerated by God. All right? Good. Take your Bible now and go to 1 Peter chapter 2. We're going to look at this in several places, and then we'll try to draw some truths from it here. All right? Ready? 1 Peter chapter 1. Look at verse number 2. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 2. 1 Peter 1, verse 2. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit. Someone said, look, there's the word elect. Look, Calvinism is a false teaching. I disagree with all 5 points. TULA, total depravity, unconditional election, all that stuff, the TULIP of Calvinism, every point I disagree with. I've never seen Calvinism touch a church where it didn't kill it. It kills every church it touches. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God. Yeah, as far as I've never seen anybody go down that rabbit hole of intellectualism. Well, how did God know then that we were to get saved, and yet God didn't make anybody to go to hell. God made everyone to have an opportunity to get saved, but God didn't make some people to go to heaven and some people to go to hell. And that's where they take this. And so if you come across a General Association of Regular Baptists or Calvinist stuff, see me and I'll help you out with it. But this is a beautiful teaching here. It's just we don't have time to go into it. Look at verse number 3. Watch this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten. There it is again. Begotten, birth, born. That word begotten means gened. According to His abundant mercy hath gened us from above, or again, all right, unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. All right, so we've been born by God from above. Look at verse 4. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are, I love this, kept by the power of God. So when you got saved, when you got regenerated, when you got regened, what is it that keeps you? The power of God. Well, yeah, but what happens if here's the classic, you know. What happens, don't commit suicide, but this is the question. What happens if I commit suicide? Most Catholics are taught if you commit suicide, you automatically go to hell. That's not in the Bible. Suicide is self-murder. You don't go to hell after you're saved if you commit suicide any more than David did after he murdered Uriah's husband. All right? So, no, I'm not for suicide. Okay? But that's always the question. Yeah, but if you commit suicide, then you... No, once you got saved, you're kept by the power of God. You're kept. But you say, what happens if I change my mind? You're kept by the power of God. Aren't you glad? You're kept by the power of God. He regened you, He birthed you, and now He keeps you by His power through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Skip on down to verse number 22. You're in 1 Peter chapter 1. We just read verse 5 there. Look at verse number 22. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart, fervently, being, here we go, verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. Do you remember when Jesus said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit? The corruptible seed is the seed of the flesh. That is our seed. That is our natural seed. We're going to die. I am dying. You are dying. We are going to all die one day. All right? Physically. Here, God says we're not born of corruptible seed or the flesh. were born of incorruptible seed, which is, and then God tells us, I love this and I love thinking about this, but of incorruptible, what's he talking about? By the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So you were born again, verse 23, or gened from above by God's word. That's why your Bible is so important. You were born of the book. This provided the genes that make you what you are as a saved individual. I didn't say as a Christian. I said as a saved individual, you were born of the Word of God. That's why you're not supposed to change it. That's why it's eternal. That's why you're supposed to love it. This book is what birthed me. God used these genes to create the new nature in me. And I'll show that to you. Ready? I'm just going to read these to you because time is important. Think about this just for a second. We were born of the Word of God. Hebrews 4:12 says the Word of God is quick. That means it's alive. That means God used, this book is alive. One street preacher, he put the Bible down, on the sidewalk, and he goes, "It's alive! It's alive! The Word of God's alive!" And he started preaching on the living Word of God. It was kind of neat. Well, God says the Word of God is quick, and it's powerful, and it's sharp. It's alive. It's a living book. It breathes. This is what gave me life. This is what gave you life. All right? There's another verse in your Bible that says, as far as James chapter 1. Now this one I want you to go to. Go to James chapter 1. You're there in 1 Peter. Just turn back one book there. Go back to 1 James. I'm sorry. James. James 1:17. You can't find it? It's in 3 James. No, I'm just... James chapter 1, verse 17. Watch this. Of His own will begat or birthed, that word begat, begotten, born, it's all regenerated, of His own will begat He us with the Word of truth. There it is again. The Word of God is quick, it's living, we're born of the Word of God, and God begat us from the Word of God, from the Word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. I find then, I was born of the eternal Word of God. Psalm 119, verse 89 says, "Forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven." God's Word has always been. There never was a time when it wasn't. You say, well, yeah, but when Moses gave it for the first time, Genesis, Exodus, the Pentateuch, and no, it was before Moses. It was before it came down to earth. It's as eternal as God is. Do you understand? You say, well, the New Testament didn't come into being until, you got 1 Thessalonians and Matthew, and that's going to be about 53 A.D., and then Paul, is going to, through the 50s, the Pauline epistle. No, it always was. It always has been. Thy Word, O Lord, is settled forever in heaven. It's a living book. It's an eternal book. It's an eternal book. That's why I'm born from it. Now take your Bible and go to, you're in James, go to Titus chapter 3. Let's look at the one time in your Bible where the word regeneration is found. Tonight we're looking at salvation and regeneration, and we're getting the picture that it's being birthed, it's being gened, and it's being born of the Word of God. Look at Titus chapter 3. This is the one time where God uses it, the word in reference. Titus chapter 3, look at verse 4, but it's in verse 5. Ready? "But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration," or the regening, the washing of regening, or the washing of, here we go, being born again, "and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior." All right, now, there's the word regenerate. What does the word regeneration mean? Are you ready? I'll give you a definition. Some of it's a little wordy, but I think you've already got the basic. Regenerate, regene, recreate, rebirth. Do you understand? You see how the two words are there? Well, this is going to be similar, but just listen. Reborn, brought again into existence, formed anew. I love this. Regenerate, restored to a better state. When God took, when we were lost, we were just living physically, we were a body and a soul, but when God regenerated you, you're now better than you were before you got saved. Because now you're a whole person. You're a body, a soul, and a spirit. Restored to a better state. Here we go. To cause to be born again in a spiritual sense. To invest with a new and higher spiritual nature. And of course you have gened again. So here we go. I've got my first birth, which is my physical genes. My earthly parental genes. My natural genes. Then I have my second birth. That is my spiritual genes. That's my heavenly divine genes from above. Just like you had a time when you were physically birthed, you also have an exact time when you were born again. When you were saved. That's why I feel sorry for people who say, oh, I've always been saved. No. You've always been a sinner. But you've not always been saved. You understand? And I've, you know, we'll hear that when we're out soul winning. Oh, I've been saved for, when was the time you were born again? Just like you had a birth date. I can't remember. I think my mother, she said I was born at like 4 or something, and all babies are born in the morning. You know what I mean? But I had an exact time when I was born physically, and you have an exact time when you were born into the family of God. When you trusted Jesus, it is just the same. It is just the same. Your first birth and your second birth. All right? Now, I'll read you this. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 13 says, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Okay? So a lost man, according to 1 Thessalonians 5:23, is not a whole man. A whole man is someone whose body, soul, and spirit are saved. They have all three. All three are alive. A lost man has a body. That's the outer circle. Then he has a soul. That's the middle circle. Then, I can't stand green and red together because it just, when they mesh, it looks like a nauseating color. I didn't say I don't like Christmas. I just don't like them meshing together, okay? So whenever I do that, I always think, bleh, puke, bleh, death, okay? Dead spirit. The spirit, okay, or that part which communicates with God was dead in a lost person. Then, in a saved person, this is the natural man. This is someone who does not understand the Word of God or spiritual things because their spirit is dead. Their body and their soul are alive, but their spirit is dead. That's how come they don't enjoy church. That's how come the Bible's boring. That's how come they don't see any value of spiritual things. That's because they're natural. They're lost. Okay? A saved man. I know this is simple, but he has a... When you got saved, your spirit is what got saved. God didn't save your body. Amen? God didn't save your flesh. God didn't save your soul. Your soul is your personality. Your soul is that part of you that communicates with other people. Do you understand? The body is what we see. The soul is what we communicate with each other with. And then our spirit is that part of us that communicates with God. That's what died when Adam sinned. Okay? Then, when you get saved and you become a whole person, your body, your soul, and your spirit are alive, all three, then you're a saved person. Okay? We'll leave those up there. And now, let me give you a rabbit trail here real quick. go to Colossians real quick. Go to Colossians chapter 2. Side note, Wednesday night's the time where we look in the Bible and we look at these things, and tonight we're looking at salvation and regeneration or regening or rebirth or being born from above. And so when you look at Colossians chapter 2, I have had this question since and until I studied it, it didn't make a whole lot of sense, and I've never heard a sermon on it, and I'm not sure a whole sermon needs to be preached on it. But circumcised and uncircumcised is in your Bible a lot. And in the New Testament, it's in there in reference to spiritual things. And I couldn't put the two together. And it was kind of like one of those topics you were kind of like, do I really want to look into this? And, you know, if I did, can I tell anybody? And what I found, I thought was a real blessing. Are you ready? Look at Colossians chapter 2. Ready? Verse 11. In whom also ye are circumcised. I'm at Colossians chapter 2, verse 11. In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the, here we go, circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. Verse 13, and you, being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Watch closely. This ties in with regeneration. Now you got to follow me. Listen. When we were lost, God calls us uncircumcised. Then there is the circumcision of Christ. What is it that was spiritually done when you got saved? Your soul and your body were joined. You were lost. You were uncircumcised. When you got saved and your spirit was made alive and God rebirthed your spirit, your soul was cut from your body and joined to your spirit. That is the circumcision of Christ. You say, what does that have to do with the tea in China? If you look it up in your Bible, it means you now, since you're saved, you have a choice. Before, you didn't have a choice. That's why they live like animals. Do you understand? Their body and their soul, their flesh calls the shots. They're lost. Their spirit is dead. Then when you got saved or regened or rebirthed from above, your soul was cut from your body and joined to your spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit can call the shot. In other words, a Christian has a choice. You understand? That's the bottom line. That's all I can spend on it. But all of this was happening when you got saved. You understand? Now, I don't think that was unseemly. And if I offended you tonight, please see me afterwards and I'll apologize. Okay? I don't think that was unseemly. But that is in your Bible a lot. Do you understand? That is as far as, and I was wondering, how does that deal with salvation? And it's a beautiful study, and there's a lot more verses that go with it. But now let's go back to our topic here, salvation and regeneration. Go to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Ready? 1 John chapter 3. Salvation and being born again, or born or regened from above. 1 John chapter 3. Ready? Look at verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Now, I love this. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. So it's talking to the saved, right? It's talking to saved people. Now are we the sons of God, or the children of God. Here we go. I'm going to look at verse number 4. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law, or the Word of God. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Look at verse 6. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Now, that has an explanation. But when you read that, and then you just, all you think is, what's that mean? It sounds like if you've sinned since you've been saved, then you're not really saved. Isn't that what face value reads that? It's not what it means. It's not what it means. I heard a preacher get up when I was in Bible college. He preached a message on this passage, and he went into the Greek and
no, that word in the Greek, as far as it's talking there. No, you know, I know what I'm preaching this morning.
And this is 2,000 students.
He said, you just need to learn to take the Bible at face value, and if you've sinned since you've been saved, you're not saved. And some of you are struggling with sin right now, and you need to come and see me afterwards, and you need to get saved.
46 college students in Bible college lined up at the door and said, I need to get saved because of that dork. You understand? Now let me show you what that means. Let me show you what it means. Are you ready? Because we know what it don't mean. All right, watch this. Verse 6. I'll read it again. Whosoever abideth in Him, or dwells in Jesus, sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen Him, neither known Him. Verse 7, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous even as He is righteous. Here goes again. He that committeth sin is of the devil. Preacher. And for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. And verse 9 is really going to throw you for a loop, but we'll explain it. Ready? Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Now, remember, you're born of the book, right? We're born of the Word of God. It's an eternal book. This is what gene does. When you got saved, you know how come you can't sin? The part of you that got saved was your spirit. Your spirit cannot sin because God says it's born of God. What do you mean you can lose your salvation? The part of me that got saved can't sin. Amen? You know what sins? My body sins. Sins of the flesh. My soul sins. Thoughts or whatever, the thoughts that are translated into words that come out my mouth, that's sin. Desires as far as it would, maybe if I touch something I'm not supposed to touch or go somewhere I'm not supposed to go, my body and soul sin. But my spirit, amen, the part of me that was regenerated or born from above, the part of me that got saved, God says can't sin. I love that. I love that. That's how I know. There's many reasons I'm kept by the power of God. My spirit can't sin. There's many reasons I know I'm eternally saved and I can't lose it. Amen? But that's one of the most beautiful passages. Your spirit can't sin because it's born of God and His seed, the Word of God, remains in you. The part of you that got saved was your spirit. Okay, now let's move on here for some more, because we'll draw this to some conclusions here in just a second. When you were lost, your spirit was dead. When you were saved, your spirit was brought to life. I'll just read you these verses. Just listen, Ephesians 2:1, and you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Ephesians 2:4-5, but God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us, or made us alive, or redeemed us together with Christ. Colossians 2:13, and you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened, or made alive, together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Think about this verse. Okay? Isaiah 53:5 says, with His stripes we are healed. Okay? The charismatics say that Jesus' stripes heal us of our physical diseases and give us universal healing, and all we have to do is claim it by faith when someone is sick, and if we have enough faith, then they'll be healed, and that's garbage. I was at a family gathering one time, and someone said, hey, pastor, come on over here and pray for this person because they're sick, and we're going to claim the healing of Jesus Christ because with His stripes we're healed. And so I prayed with him because I didn't want the rigmarole of, pastor doesn't want to pray. So dear Lord. Sometimes my sarcasm comes out. But yes, I prayed for them, and they did that. But that is not what that verse is talking about. With His stripes we are healed. If Jesus didn't come to heal, look, death is because of disease. If Jesus would abolish disease, He would have abolished a lot of death. He didn't come to do that. The healing you get is when you get saved, that which was dead in you is brought alive. That is with His stripes we are healed. Not,
hey, come on over here and pray for this person because they're not supposed to be sick because God says with His stripes we're healed.
I'm for praying for somebody if they're sick. But I don't think every person is supposed to be healed. But I pray for everybody that's sick. But I don't
claim it by faith, and then if you had enough faith, then this person will get healed. Because
that's garbage. Healing is your spirit. This is what His stripes provide healing for. Not universal healing for everybody. Okay? And I'm glad I got that off my chest. I feel so much better now. Okay?
Let me give you a place to go to. You know what? We're getting close here to wrapping it up. Why don't you go to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4.
Regeneration, salvation, and regeneration. Being born again or born from above. That's why Jesus said, ye must be born again. How come? Now, think with me just for a second. We're looking at salvation and regeneration tonight. We'll go to this in just a second. I'll speak in first person. I'm so corrupt, God couldn't salvage anything about me. I'm so badly broken by sin. God couldn't say, well, here, I'll fix what's broken. God said, you're so corrupt in your sin, you have to be remade. Rebirthed. Does that make sense to you? That means that's when you were birthed by the Spirit of God and your spirit was born again, God became your Father and you became a child of God. You became His child. But I love the statement. That's why I feel sad for people. Well, I'm trying to work my way to heaven. You don't understand. What you do can't change what you are. What you are has to be changed. You must be born again. You must be. And you can work all you want and get baptized all you want and read the Bible. I'm for all of that. But what you are has to be changed. That is regeneration. Your spirit has to be resurrected from the dead. And there's only one person that can do that. There's only one person that can give those type of genes. There's only one person that can give that type of a birth. That I can give a natural genes for a natural birth, but that ends in death. He who is eternal and inhabits eternity, in Isaiah, he who inhabits eternity, he's the only one that gives eternal genes so that you can live forever. He's the only one. Look at this. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. Ready? Whereby, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Now, I think you ought to think about this just for a minute. Watch this. That by these, the promises of God, ye might be partakers of the divine nature. You realize when you got saved, God gave you who He was from the Word of God. You were rebirthed. You got God's nature. That's how I know I can't go to hell when I die. I'm born of above. I am born again. You became a partaker of who God is. God said, let me give you who I am. That's why He lives within you. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? Watch. Now, we're going to wrap this up with, I think, two things. Go to James chapter 1. Go to James chapter 1. Partakers of the divine nature. You're in 2 Peter. Go back two books there to James chapter 1. Now, I like this. James chapter 1. Salvation and regeneration. Watch this. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. When you receive, here's the truth. When you receive the word of God in the area of being saved, you see what you are, you see who He is. When you received it, you got saved. Now in all the other areas of your life, I know people who've received the Word of God. Okay, I'll trust Jesus as my Savior. But when it comes to their music, they've not received the Word of God. When it comes to their friends that they run with, they've not received the Word of God. When it comes to their family, they've not received the Word of God. Any area you receive the Word of God in gets, I'm going to make the statement, I know it was your spirit that got saved, but it gets changed. Jesus will change your music if you will receive it. But I know some Christians, don't talk to me about music. Don't talk to me about beer. They had a stinking church had beer and Bible time. Beer and Bible time. I saw that and I got so mad. I'm so glad I wasn't driving. Could have had a wreck. Just beer and Bible time. That's blasphemous. The pastor said, well, we got to get them in here somehow. Beer and Bible time. Bring your beer and your Bible. Let me preach at that mess. I'd need blood pressure medicine after I was done. What I'm trying to tell you is when you receive the Word of God in the area of salvation, you're changed, you're born again. God says here, receive the Word of God in all the areas of your life. And He'll change whatever you let Him change. Is He allowed to touch your clothing? Is God allowed to touch your music? Is He allowed to talk to you about your friends that you hang around and run with? Is He allowed to talk with you about how you spend your spare time? All I'm saying is, wherever you receive the Word of God, He changes. He borns again. He rebirths. All right, watch this. Now we're go to Colossians chapter 3, verse number 3, and I'll salvation and regeneration. The deeds of the natural or spiritually dead man cannot bring to life or rebirth the spirit. Colossians chapter 3, verse 3. Watch this. After you get saved, God says here, for ye are dead. And your life is hid with Christ in God. Look, since your obedience could not get you saved and bring you back to life from a lost man to a saved man, if your obedience couldn't get you from here to here, how can your disobedience as a Christian take you back to here? Your obedience couldn't help you. It could not birth you, and your disobedience cannot unbirth you. God says, look, for you, God says after you get saved in Colossians 3, ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. That means there's a part of you. For you to lose your salvation would mean God would have to kill what He resurrected and resurrect what He killed. Because you're dead when you get saved. That's Romans chapter 6 and 7, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. Isn't that beautiful? Rebirth. Thinking all these thoughts as far as salvation and regeneration. The Word of God is the incorruptible seed. The soul of man is the soil. The soul winner is the seed bearer. The Spirit of God is the seed planter. It's the seed planter. No conviction, no conversion. Right? So the Spirit of God is what's driving the seed into the heart, and the soul of man allows or disallows the seed to be planted. You said, I thought it was their spirit that got saved. Their soul can stop. You ever meet somebody with a bad attitude? That's their soul. Right? as far as their standoff. Well, we go to church already. I don't want to talk about that right now. Their soul stopped the seed from getting planted by the Spirit of God. Okay? Their attitude or their personality, if you will. Regenerate. It means bought again into existence, formed anew, restored to a better state, to cause to be born again in a spiritual sense, to invest with a new and higher spiritual nature. This is just one of the things. Now, we've looked at all these verses tonight, right? Begotten, born. One time in your Bible, regeneration is mentioned. But it's taught all the way through. When you became a child of God, one thing that happened when you got saved. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for tonight. Thank you for saving me.